Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lickin' on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update providing up-to-the-minute information on interest rates, loan programs, and hot industry news relating to the mortgage industry. Brought to you by Mortgage Banking Solutions. Whether you need a new warehouse line, hedging, or are interested in making the transition from broker to banker, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level. To participate in today's program, our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here is your host of Lickin' on Lending, David Lickin.
Hello, happy Monday to everybody. It's good to have you with us again. This is Dave Lickin with Mortgage Banking Solutions, and we're thrilled to host this program. Again, I want to just remind everybody, and probably figure it out, it doesn't take any reminding, but we're not professional radio personalities. We are just a group of folks trying to bring you up-to-date information on the mortgage industry, and that is the purpose of this call, and there is certainly a lot going on today. And we're in the midst of the vacation holidays, and I just returned from Minnesota. Again, last week you heard me coughing away. We still got a little bit of that left, so I apologize for intermittently interrupting the program with some few good hacks here. It's just one of those things, the joys. A summer cold is the worst thing we can all get. But I want to just say welcome again to Alice Alvey with Mortgage U and also Scott Sanderson with us from MBS Quote Line. In fact, Scott's up at the Lenders One Conference up in Washington, D.C. Special hello out to all the Lender One members and to Scott Stearns, my good friend. And we are just thrilled for you to take a few moments away from your booth up there, Scott, to give us an update. I know you put Joe into booth duty here today, so you're taking the program, so give us an update. A lot going on in interest rates.
Yeah, I'm going to sit here getting ready to do the fun stuff. Joe's down there working hard. Well, market-wise, it's really kind of starting out as a tale of 2 weeks. But to speak to last week, first of all, somewhat of a slow start. You know, we've talked a lot over the past couple months, really, about the demand for this funding, the Treasury auctions, and we had a slow start to that last week. The two-year auction had about average demand. That was disappointing compared to results from previous weeks. It had been really outstanding. Five-year demand was really pretty poor. That put a lot of pressure on the markets. But while that was going on, U.S. and Chinese officials were meeting. Evidently, the market liked what happened there, and the demand for the seven-year auction on Thursday was extremely strong, and it set us up for a wonderful rally late in the week. Mortgage prices increased over a point. We're up 38, 30 seconds for the week. So that's great. Everybody was feeling good coming into today, but a couple of things happened. We had some strong economic news overnight in Europe, good industrial sector measurements of the activity there. Stocks were up. Then we're greeted this morning with a couple of strong reports of our own. Construction spending was up 0.3%. It was projected to be down. The ISM, which is a manufacturing index, and this is really from the category of less bad is good these days. It, you know, manufacturing still declined, but not nearly at the pace that everyone was expecting. And that put some pressure on mortgage-backed securities, and currently we're down 20, 30 seconds. So we've given back roughly half of last week's gains. And you couple that with stocks doing well in the U.S. I think I read an article this morning that said of the S&P companies that have reported, 74% of their earnings have exceeded expectations. So you're starting to see a few positive signs. The S&P is over 1,000. That's big news this morning.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's coming at the expense of bonds, at least temporarily here this week. And looking forward for this week, Dave.
Yeah, what's up? What's on the calendar for this week activity-wise?
Well, the biggest thing, the headline number, is going to be jobs, and that comes out the first Friday of every month. And we're expected to lose jobs, but once again, not at the pace that we have been. But that will be really the potential market mover. There's some other reports in between here and there, but that's certainly the one that all of our listeners should watch for, because I think you'll see all investors positioning, reacting to what's going on, but positioning ahead of that.
Well, there is certainly a lot of activity, and I know you have a short time frame that you got to run down to be a part of the conference, Scott. It's interesting that the less it's not as bad as we anticipated is actually had some of the effect on the markets that it has on the equity side, and actually kind of dampened a little bit of the enthusiasm for bonds. But it's certainly, we were driving back from Minnesota, from our vacation in Minnesota, Scott. We listened to a lot of talk radio, and being doing now some talk radio ourselves, or listening to it, and I was trying to look for some ideas. But there was, what was dominating it was a lot of the news that things aren't quite as bad as they were, so things are bouncing back. I wonder if that's a function of the media supporting Obama, the Obama administration. I wonder if a Republican was in office, if we'd be hearing quite the same tone to this. But bottom line is, it is good for you to join us. We appreciate you stepping away from the floor at the Lenders One's conference there in Washington, D.C., and joining us. You'll be back next week, and I would encourage everyone to, again, log into the website and take a look at it. But you'll see on the updates, again, one of the updates that came across our screen at 9 o'clock was the MBS price was down 16, 30 seconds. Valuable information for anyone wanting to work this market. Scott, thank you so much for being with us. Do you have any parting comments before you have to run off?
Well, you know, just to kind of develop that a little bit more, and I have a few more minutes, Dave.
Okay.
That ISM, the manufacturing index, a reading of 50 indicates neutral activity, no contraction, no expansion. Well, the expectation was that that index would be at 46.5 when, in fact, it came in at 48.9. So that indicates there is contraction, however, not nearly at the pace that they expected. Exactly the same thing, the point I was making with the S&P. Everyone had lowered the bar so much on the earnings expectations, and so these companies are clearing these very low hurdles. And, you know, investors are really looking for any positive sign of life. And, you know,
and I think that's a positive thing. I mean, there's so much anticipation and a desire to get out of this mess we're in that any good news is being received, and that's encouraging to hear. The unemployment number that's coming out on Friday, what are you reading, and any indication that's anticipated to be again?
Yeah, you know, it's important to note that jobs are always going to be a lagging indicator. Those are one of the last things to recover. But last month, 467,000 jobs net were lost. This month, the expectation, consensus among the economists, is that there will be 300,000 lost. So there again, you know, less bad is good. And, you know, the unemployment rate is expected to remain quite high. But anything, you know, as is typically the case with any of these economic reports, what moves the market is a surprise number from the consensus. So if more jobs are lost, that would certainly throw cold water on everybody's optimism. But if fewer than 300,000 are lost, I think you could expect that equities might receive that well and bonds could be under pressure.
Well, we got to get housing to lead us out of this recovery. I think everybody that I talk to and anyone that I'm listening to on the radio and TV basically suggests it's going to be a housing-led recovery. And so, yeah, I think we're going to see that employment indicator potentially lag. So it is possible that we could see negative news and it not being or being worse than that. We certainly hope not for the many that are out there holding and fearing the loss of jobs. But the Cash for Clunkers program has been an interesting thing. That has been an outrageously successful program. And I think at some point in time we keep asking ourselves a question, with all the money being thrown to stimulate our economy, are we going to find ourselves overstimulated and actually tip over at some point in time? There's a lot of debate about that. We certainly are hoping for the best. And I think the bottom line, though, is we expect volatility, and the MBS quote line is a valuable service for those that are out there looking at this on a day-to-day basis, whether or not to lock and close with that borrower or should they float a little longer. And what are you seeing the tendency out there? Do you have any indication, Scott, of those, the tendency people just to hang on, or do you get feedback like that?
You know, I'm such a big believer in eliminating risk, and this is a perfect case in point as to why that's an advisable approach to take. Last week, you're going into the weekend feeling pretty rosy. We've had a nice rally in rates. Half of that has been unwound already this morning.
And
just
I
this
think
morning, yeah.
Especially right now as the market tries to get some direction and get a sense of footing when, you know, half of it's saying things are getting better and yet there's not full-blown optimism, it's going to find its trading range and find its direction. You mentioned that housing is going to lead us out of this. That's why that construction number this morning, construction spending number, was viewed so positively. You know, that construction spending increased or was up.
Yes.
It's been a while.
Yeah, it has been, and it is encouraging. These are encouraging signs, and we certainly, again, for all of us, certainly hope that this is going to last for and be a sustainable growth, and it's not just a result of, you know, overstimulation in the market. So we're sincerely hoping for that, and really appreciate you taking a moment to dial in. You have to greet Joe for us down there and tell him to go get some of those Scholl's inserts for his shoes there, because standing on that convention floor at the conference, I'm standing in the booth all day. But we really wish you the best at that program or at that show up there, and I do greet all of our friends at Lenders One. Thanks again so much for being a part of the program, Scott.
Well, you're welcome, and I hope everyone has a great week.
You bet. Now a brief break, and we'll be right back after this word.
Looking for that competitive edge? MBS Quoteland delivers live market coverage for originators. Get up-to-the-minute mortgage market news and analysis as events occur.
Get MBS prices as trades happen.
Straight to your computer, email, cell phone, or PDA. Know in advance when your investors will reprice. Make better lock-float decisions and increase your income. Be the expert your clients expect. And know what's moving interest rates right now, tomorrow, and beyond. MBS Quoteline, delivering live market coverage for originators. Learn more about MBS Quoteline today at MBSQuoteLine.com.
MBSQuoteLine.com.
646-716-4972. The Lickin' on Lending Show is back. Here is your host, David Lickin.
Hello, everybody. Back and now for another update on the legislative. It seems like this program has turned nothing but into a legislative update, Alice. And there is so much going on and just so many initiatives the Obama administration is pushing through. Give us an update on this. Everyone's scrambling for the Mortgage Disclosure, quote-unquote, Improvement Act. Alice, give us an update. Good to have you with you.
Oh, thanks, Dave. It's good to be here. My gosh, you are right. It is just crazy what we've all experienced in this last week, scrambling to get in compliance with this Mortgage Disclosure Improvement Act. Like we mentioned, we've been mentioning on the show some tips and ways to be able to, you know, get yourself in compliance with this for those of you who are lenders and brokers. So go back and listen to some of those other shows with those tips. What I want to at least give everyone a heads up on now is, you know, there's still a lack of 100% consensus on, do we have to redisclose to a customer if we've told them a higher APR than what the actual APR is? So if we gave the customer an annual percentage rate of, say, 6%, but the actual rate when they actually went to lock their interest rate, say they were floating before, now they lock, and the actual interest rate comes in at 5.75%, so we actually told them something too high, and it's really a good news change, would we have to redisclose, start this whole 3-day waiting period all over again, which might delay a closing? You know, there's a lot of implications with this issue of, can I over-disclose? And the big lenders came out with policies and said, no, you don't have to, but there's still a lot of comment coming from the Federal Reserve, you know, people who wrote this stuff going, wait, we think you should. So we're still trying to get to the bottom of that issue.
Wow. That's and that kind of confusion when things are hastily pumped out like this, especially the sheer volume, it's creating for a lot of confusion. You can understand that. So at this point, Alice, we're still waiting for a final determination, is what we're hearing you say, from the regulators. But the banks have made the decision that at this point you do not have to redisclose if you overdisclosed. Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say most of them. You know, that's the trouble right now, is you can't say all of them. So any of the companies out there that sell to multiple lenders, you know, you're going to have a very conservative policy if you just have simply one lender that you sell to that says over-disclosure triggers re-disclosure, getting the customer new forms, and then you could be stuck waiting. So if you can handle it case by case, depending on your lender, great. But, you know, I know trying to manage something sometimes can be very difficult.
Without question, and it's one of the things I tell everybody, you know, stay in touch with your reps from your various investors to whom you're selling. This is a very hot issue, very fluid, and the consequences, the plaintiff bar, those attorneys that are out there that are preying around the fringe of this thing certainly are going to be studying this and looking for opportunities to bring litigation against some of the large lenders. So this is definitely a development that we need to keep on top of. RESPA, give us a card. The U.S. District Court Judge Robertson gave us a ruling. Give us in favor of HUD, if I understand, correct?
Yeah. This was, you know, the National Association of Mortgage Brokers was trying to demonstrate that HUD, you know, did not follow the Administrative Procedures Act. So there's a process that has to be gone through when you're going to issue proposed rules and final rules. Well, RESPA has had so many proposed rules over the years and several final rules that have never actually been implemented. So the Brokers Association and many other industries, they were just really the main one out in front trying to battle that RESPA final rule that's due to go into effect January 1st is cannot move forward. Well, Judge Robertson ruled in favor of HUD, stating that the agency, in fact, did not violate the Administrative Procedures Act, and therefore the RESPA train, as I call it, the track is clear at the moment, and it's coming down the track. And so people want to wait till the last minute, like they did with the MDIA, and they want to wait till the last minute to figure out how to do the new good faith. You know, you all go right ahead, but it really, truly is time to start. Make sure your loan origination software companies are getting ready for this. Make sure that no later than September you're starting your training. We will be providing that. We're working on some internet-based tools for people to do this very easily. This is a new hard form. I had a group of originators last week, and I was showing them the new form and this, the new sections, and that they just keep going, wow. You know, there's a lot to learn.
So it is quite a bit more complicated, and this is it's so important that you have a good training firm like yourselves to be in there and be working with them. Are you seeing this as an inevitability? Is that your at this point? It looks like it's inevitable.
Yeah, I guess right now I would have to say it is. You know, we've got several pieces of legislation pending. Probably the biggest one is that Consumer Financial Protection Agency that may be established. You know, again, just a House. Just a proposed bill at this time. That has not moved anywhere yet either. You know, and that has in it that agency would have to go create new disclosures. So, you know, okay, if that thing takes off, actually passes before the end of the year, could we have an 11th hour, you know, breaks put on RESPA because this other agency wants to address something? I don't know. But, you know, as of today, my recommendation is to folks is pay attention and start gearing up like this is really going to happen.
Well, it's a word of wisdom for those. There's so much change going on out there, and again, preparing for the worst-case scenario is probably the wisest thing to do. There's been some updates, Alice, on HVCC, or certainly some rumors running around out there as to what's going on. Do you want to bring clarity to some of that? Internet chat, I think, is what you put in some of your notes.
Yeah, you know, I like to kind of see what everybody on the internet's, you know, complaining about, which just seems to be what most of those blogs are all about. I'd like to see some positive out there. Maybe that's what we have to start, Davis. Here's the positive news. Here's the good way to do things. It's all about just taking care of the customer. But boy, this HVCC, there was, in looking at some of the chatter out there, somebody was referencing that they thought this did get a vote in the House Financial Services Committee, but I can't find any fact behind that. It was a senator who is not sitting on the committee who responded to one of her constituents and said that this was voted down. So for those of you who might not be updated on this, the Home Valuation Code of Conduct, there's a bill out there to put a moratorium on it for 18 months, and we've been watching that. So there isn't any formal stat on it. I do have an email out to my congressman who does sit on that committee to see if he'll give us any insight, and certainly we'll let you all know as soon as we hear something. But so anyway, there's just a little chatter. We're still trying to get to the bottom of it, that it might have been voted down in committee and won't even make it out of committee.
So there's the chance of this just HVC staying in place and continuing to be the issue that it is for many out there, it looks like it's very probable at this point.
Yeah, you know what I see lacking? Where are the facts? You know, the realtors, and everybody wants to say HBCC is what's collapsing the real estate market. I don't know, Dave, do you think that's what's collapsed the real estate market?
No, it's certainly not. A lot of people, I'm hearing the talk. In fact, one of the reasons we're up in Minnesota, Alice, is where my parents are moving into a retirement home, so we are in the process of working on getting their home on the market or looking for someone to buy it. So we had the home appraised, and I talked to the appraiser up there. This guy's a veteran, 20-plus years as an appraiser, and I asked him that question. Are you actually seeing this actually? Are you now appraising properties purposely lower? Are you feeling the pressure off? He said, absolutely not. This hasn't changed his focus. And he said that represents the peers. Now, maybe that's something that's unique up in Minnesota where I was at. But, no, I don't think this is at all having the negative impact on or that has caused anything. Now, what I am hearing a lot of chatter about, and that is this is preventing the property values to go or stay low, and because properties can't come up in value. We're not able to, quote-unquote, influence property values to have them go up. Well, this very thing was to purposely take out the subliminal or sometimes overt pressure that we need this to come in at a certain value. The appraisers I'm talking to are saying, Dave, we still feel that pressure. They vote whether they say it verbally or they vote by just not using us again. So, or somehow finding a way to not use us. I tell you, Alice, I think it's I don't buy the argument that this is causing for property values to fall off. I see this as an issue that is just one other factor in a market that's got numerous frustrations to it. So,
yeah.
What's your thoughts?
I think the realtors seem to want to make the case that a sale price is the number one thing, right? If you have two parties, arm's length, and they agree to pay, $300,000 for a property, then that must be what it's worth. Well, you know what? We've learned that a lot of times that's not a fully educated decision. And right now people are lacking some information to make that decision in some markets, or they're basing it on old information. Now, I'm with you that I think there's definitely some timing that people look at and think it's suspect with HVCC, but I think it's just our decline in our market, and the data's not there. You can't ask the appraisers to pull comparable properties out of nowhere.
That's exactly
prices are down.
Right. Prices are down, and this is always a problem for many appraisers, and especially as we're trying to experience a recovery. They're out there trying to help experience as well because their business is impacted. It's not like they're going out there purposely pulling comps or ignoring comps for the most part. Some will argue that, but when you really dive in and looking at the rules that these guys have to appraise to, stick to in the appraisal process, they are sticking to what I'm trying to say is they're trying to do everything they can to get the property values up. But if a comp doesn't work, it doesn't work. And that was there before HVCC was there.
Yeah, and I think in our declining market, we're probably lacking some experienced appraisers who've worked in this level of complexity in a market because we haven't seen this for over 20 years. You know, so maybe that's part of it. But, you know, if someone's got some data out there that can truly point that HBCC is a cause to this, I'm interested in looking at that because I don't see it. I think that's what's lacking in their argument for this to get any legs, I guess, is the final point, the final issue. Will it get any legs in the House Financial Services Committee when they have 200 other things to do, like you said, Obama burying them? I don't know.
I don't think there's enough screams coming out about it. I don't think the screams are legitimate enough. I'm sure we'll hear from some folks on that. But the best thing you do is email us with your feedback. We'd love to hear from you and get your thoughts on this. We'll air them. In fact, we may just invite you to come on the program and share some of your thoughts on this. We're trying to report as neutrally as we can on this. At this point, let's take another quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about Reg Z, some of the proposed rule. But let's just take a quick break.
Looking for a full-service mortgage training and consulting company to fit exactly what you need? Mortgage U is your ultimate education and information resource used by lenders to execute high-impact, high-quality training throughout the organization. Mortgage U instructors are mortgage professionals,
providing classroom and web-based delivery,
and has the most sought-after training manuals in the country. Mortgage U has a proven track record, performing customized training programs for hundreds and even thousands of employees, both live and online, on everything from application application through loan delivery and insuring. Call Mortgage U today at 800-278-0200 or visit us online at mortgage-u.com. Welcome back to Lickin' on Lending. Our guest call-in line is 646-716-4972. And now, here's David Lickin.
I want to say thank you to so many of you that are out there dialing in and tuning into this weekly. And then a good number of people communicated, says, I'm going to be on vacation this week. And they said, but I'm going to be dialing in on the internet while on vacation listening to your program. So that's one of the values of the Blog Talk program. Not only do you get to listen to us live, but if for some reason you missed the program, you can log into blogtalkradio.com, put in Lickin' on Lending, L-Y-K-K-E-N, on Lending, and the search box, and you'll bring up all of the programs that you can go back and listen to. And I want to say also a special note, thank you for Alice. She's on vacation this week, and she dialed in from where she's vacationing up there in beautiful Michigan. I love the ads for the Michigan. It's so pretty up there. And certainly a lot of people in Texas in the hot south are suffering under these 100-plus degrees. Al, sure wish they were up there with you enjoying that. But talk about something that's hot across the country is Reg Z. Kind of give us an update on the proposed rule.
Well, we mentioned in the previous show, you know, about the fact that there is a proposed rule out there. It's pretty straightforward. Truth in lending changes that would prohibit yield spread premium and overages. So those of you lenders out there who keep wanting to point to, well, it's just a yield spread premium issue, this one would change that. It's called the Home Secure Credit. It's kind of a weird heading, I think. It's not a complete, like, it doesn't say the word act, but it's under Reg Z. It's a proposed rule. You want to go read it, pay attention to it, or if you just know from me saying that sentence you don't like it, respond. And what you have to do here is send in a response. Get your viewpoint known. That you are for or against this, or in what your comments are. Some of the different agency groups, like the Mortgage Bankers Association, I know usually has a link that you can take a look at their position and respond using their position, or write your own. But get a response. They need to hear from everybody on this.
And this is to talk about the train. This one is. This is a rule. This is happening without any votes. This is just going to go through the rule process, and it's coming. Talk about feeling the effect, or that light at the end of the tunnel. This is the train that light for many out there, and it is going to have a, let's put it this way, a game-changing effect on many. For those that have lived in the YSP world and have made good money at this industry, you have got to make your voice heard about this and build that argument in their ears. At this point, the Obama administration, like Al so amply pointed out in previous programs, and again, if you didn't hear this, go back into Blog Talk Radio, go into Lickin' on Lending, listen to the previous programs. It's a great update. And you're going to hear that this is being done through the rule process. Expound on that a little bit more for those listeners that may not have heard that in a previous program.
Well, you get in the rules process, you know, it's presented, and then we have our, just real lively, we have about 120 days to respond to this one, and then all
and
the comments
from,
are reviewed.
When did that 120-day process start, Alice?
Just last week, July 23rd.
Okay, so we're early in the process, and how do they respond? Is it through, like what you say, going to the MBAs and downloading their comments and responding through them, or is it how do people give their feedback?
Well, they can go through the association, or you can go actually to the Federal Register site, and you can file a comment online through the Federal Register site. So what we can do, I don't know if we can put a link up on your website or not for them to gain access to that.
Yes.
You can probably use one of your search engines to get yourself, if you key in Reg Z Home Secure Credit, if you put that in your search window, then usually the first thing that pops up for your link is going to be from Federal Reserve, their federalreserve.gov site. And so watch for that in the URL and click on that, and that'll take you to the site where then you can be able to post your own comment. Here's some tips on comments, though. You can't just be emotional about, wait a minute, you're going to wreck my ability to pay my bills. You know, you've got to say something that's, how this helps consumers, because right now your congresspeople think this does nothing but hurt consumers.
That is, it's so important. We're in the middle of a recess. We're just starting a recess, so the best way to put this information into them is by sending in the emails or going into the websites and literally commenting directly. Another thing many can do is they can go out and contact their senators or their representatives in their districts while they're on recess. And quite frankly, they're going to hear so much feedback about the health care bill,
right.
that's working through there. They're going to be probably thrilled to talk to you about something other than that. However, the energy behind the comments are going to be a wrath coming from the constituency to many of these representatives, whether it be healthcare or this issue, because there's a lot of people hot on all these topics. But it's so important that they hear from you. Everyone says, that doesn't make a difference. My voice doesn't make a difference. Well, you know what? Go talk to Joe the plumber and see if he didn't think that. But he went out there and made some comments, and now Joe the plumber is a household icon for many that represent middle-class, hardworking America, all the rest of us out here. So I'll tell you, your voice can make a huge difference, and I would encourage you to get on this, get a hold of your representative, and contact them. Alice, I think there's so much on this topic, but the most important thing we stress is that this is on rails. This is not something that might get voted down. It is coming at us.
Yeah, because it's a proposed rule, they'll receive the comments and they'll sift through all the comments. And sometimes, we've had times that we've just, as an industry, overwhelmed them with comments. They've gotten thousands of them, and it forces the agency, in this case HUD, the Federal Reserve, to
sit back.
Take a look at the comments, and then it can delay the process. The final rule, in some cases, never comes about if the comments are compelling enough to force them to go back and rethink what they've written. So you actually have a better and more effective voice, I think, if you're paying attention in the proposed rule process. What can happen is if people ignore it, then it can slide through.
Yep. I just think that there's so many people out there just think that this is inevitable. There's nothing I can do about it. You know what? If you don't do anything, yeah, you're right. You're going to end up with what's being proposed here in this rule, or what's coming at us coming down the rule. Again, many of these folks are facing re-election, and they do care about this. You may be surprised the feedback and the difference you can make. Let's take a quick break and be right back to you after this brief word.
Mortgage Banking Solutions is the preeminent management consulting firm to the residential mortgage lending industry. No other firm in the U.S. offers the menu of services or the level of expertise to the industry.
Whether you need a new warehouse line or making the transition from broker to banker, are interested in mergers and acquisitions,
or anything in between, Mortgage Banking Solutions' primary focus is to enable executives to take their business to the next level and guide them down a path towards success and profitability. With over 300 combined years of experience in all facets of mortgage lending, the Mortgage Banking Solutions team of professionals has the expertise and know-how to help you accomplish your goals. New warehouse lines of credit,
broker to banker transitions, transitioning to hedging, financial and accounting services, or meeting your capitalization needs.
If you need help with these or any other aspects of your business, please contact a Mortgage Banking Solutions sales team to see how we can help you at 512-977-9900. That's 512-977-9900. Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level.
Well, thank you so much again for sticking with us through this program. There's a lot of news to digest out there. One of the things that I want to encourage you to look at, there's some wonderful resources. I just published another article in the National Mortgage Professional. If you get that magazine, I recommend it. I have a monthly column that I write there, and I'm very grateful to Andrew Berman and the whole staff there, Eric Peck, good group of folks, and we're writing a lot in that, trying to help get the word out of things that can be done. One of the things, that article that was just published, I'm getting a lot of feedback on, and then you can go to their website. The articles I'm writing are under the monthly column, A View from the C-Suite, or from the C-suite be the CE level executive, the CEO, the chief lending officer, the chief credit officer. So whatever the chief position is, it's the suite where all the chiefs sit. And so we're kind of giving a perspective and writing in that article a perspective of what's going on, the thoughts and mentality of many of the CEOs, the leaders of the various companies. And I'll tell you, I'm very, very flattered with the feedback I'm getting. If you haven't gotten that, if you don't subscribe to that, I recommend that you do. You can also go online. You'll catch the articles a little bit later. They publish them, I think, a month or two after the publication goes out into the press. But, Alice, there's just so much out there to write about and talk about right now, and I'm getting so much feedback from so many. I know you are traveling across the country and talking to so many in your training sessions. Any general themes that you have? I know I'm hitting this with you kind of off the top, but what is the general attitude of so many out there, the ones that you're talking to over the phone and the classes that you're doing? How would you characterize the attitude of the mortgage industry and the those in the trenches working away?
You know, I think right now it's got to be managers need to focus on how to keep their staff positive and motivated. We see many companies who did so many cutbacks that their staff is very, very stressed on the operations side. Sales certainly is struggling. You know, certainly there's a lot of good business coming in the door, and the tax credit that has, you know, is out there, the $8,000 tax credit has been a big boost. But boy, when that goes away, they start to say, well, where is my business going to come from if that goes away? And so there's just this constant uncertainty of instability and, in one hand, on operations, overworking. So I think from a management standpoint, I would say you really need to talk with each other and maybe, you know, see about management seminars, how to manage this level of stress in mortgage banking right now.
And we certainly are seeing stress levels at an all-time high, and it is definitely bringing a lot of people to wondering, what does my career look like, and is there a future in this? Well, I think everyone I talk to, Alice, I keep coming back to this and saying, number one, do you believe that the housing is going to lead us out of this recession? And that's a rhetorical question for almost anyone you ask that question to. And then you ask them, let me ask you this, mortgage lender who's worried, is the need for mortgage finance greater or lesser as we come out of this recession? Well, without question, consumers are feeling poor. There's more need for financing than ever before. And we have an industry that has contracted so dramatically that we really find ourselves in a situation that those that are there and have survived, have stuck through the pain of all of this, yeah, they're going to be dealing with a lot more regulation, as you so amply point out, Alice. But the reality is there may be a greater opportunity. I firmly believe there will be a greater opportunity in this next business cycle than we've seen in a long, long time. In fact, one of the statements I'm putting out there with many of our clients and people that are calling us is, I said, I believe, firmly believe, that more wealth will be created in the mortgage industry in the next 5 years for those that are in it than those that participated in the industry in the last 25. I know that's a bold statement, but if yield spread premiums go away, if they start regulating how the mortgage industry is run in many ways, we're going to find, for those that survive, an opportunity to make more money. Go, how can we make more money? Well, someone's going to be earning what is not being paid out in yield spread premiums. It's an interesting discussion, and we'd love and welcome your thoughts as you read these articles we're publishing and getting out there. By all means, get in and listen to one of Alice's seminars, if at all possible. Home buyer tax credit expansion. Alice, we've seen the Cash for Clunkers program get expanded or added to again. That went, money went out the door. Kind of give us an update on the home buyer tax credit and the expansion.
Well, that's another one that's just sitting. You know, nothing's happened on it. I checked this morning. There's nothing coming out of committee. It's just stalemated. So it was presented and no action yet because, like we've already said, there's so much on the table. And, you know, Dave, to your point on the wealth, you know, we are looking at that there are opportunities and needs for warehouse lines. And if there are the community bank sector can step up to this in a sound and very profound manner. Because financing is a little more conservative, it's your 30-year fixed, your FHAs, and that stuff's a little easier to manage on a line, that's where part of the opportunity may lie for companies.
There's no question that the community banks, as you and I both know, Alice, we're talking to one right now and getting phone calls out in there each week from more and more community banks. Hey, we're considering doing a little bit of warehouse lending. We'd like to dip our toe into this thing. And so there is signs that are out there that there are companies, banks specifically, community banks, stepping up and stepping into the fray on this. And we certainly hope so, because the word that's on the street, again, it's somewhat rumor, but what's going on with the recapitalization of Colonial Bank, which is the largest warehouse lender out there, it's not good information that's coming out of that. And we certainly hope that that does go through. We're very much supporting that. But the probability of that going through, if the rumors are true, we are definitely have reason for concern. Alice, there's been no updates in FHA, is that correct?
Yeah, none of those proposed bills that we've talked about, in previous shows have moved at this time. So we'll just keep, and now they won't, now that they're in recess, there aren't any committee hearings till the first part of September. So we'll check the schedule then. And in the meantime, just keep updated on what's going on in the industry itself.
Same thing with the Consumer Finance Protection Agency, the formation of that at this point. It's been proposed, it's out there, but no real developments at this point.
Right, yep. So, I don't know, maybe that's a good news, bad news thing. Hopefully it gives us time to kind of retrench and reload, kind of.
Well, I think so much of the talk radio programs that I listened to while driving back from Minnesota, they all said that the fact that some of this has not gotten jammed through and been signed off and approved yet gives us an opportunity for a comment period. And this is the time to get a hold of your representative in your community and really get your voice be heard, because there's certainly a lot more to talk about than just the health care, and that's certainly a big issue, but there's so much related to our industry. And you know what? If you say, I'm not calling about the health issue, I'm here to talk about something else, you don't have to tell them you're hot about what you're talking about, but they probably will get them on the phone a little bit sooner. Thank you so much, Alice, for being with us and on the program while I'm taking a break from your family and vacation. I hope you have a wonderful time up there. And for all of our listeners that are so faithful to listen in, we want to say thank you so much. We hope that if you haven't had that summer break, that summer vacation, you get a chance to enjoy it. I just enjoyed mine last couple weeks up in cool Minnesota. Alice is getting a chance to enjoy hers this week up in Michigan. And we wish you all the very, very best. And just say thank you so much for being a part of this program. And we look forward to hearing and talking to you next week. Have a blessed week. And just remember this, the mortgage industry is alive and well, and it's your attitude that's going to determine your future and what you're going to enjoy. Have a great week, everybody.
This has been Lincoln on Lending, a weekly mortgage market update with your host, David Lincoln of Mortgage Banking Solutions, enabling executives to take their business to the next level. On the web at www.mortgagebankingsolutions.com. Today's guests were Joe Farr and Scott Sanderson from MBS Quote Line, delivering live mortgage-backed security prices as trades happen, and Alice Alvey, President CMB of Mortgage U, your ultimate education and information resource. Come by next week, and thank you for listening.